Okay, welcome ladies. Welcome to week three, class three in our 90-day series. And you might have seen on the email that this third week's class theme is beauty and sacred sensuality as a guiding force. And one of the reasons for the title of the course, which is Walking the Way of the Goddess, is that we're learning how to move or walk through the world in a new way. And we're also cultivating a way of perceiving, and that's both the world around us and also ourselves, and that's based on a connection with our being or our essential nature first, and then to nature itself or our environment, and also that affects our connection with each other. So our perceptions are the way we take in or the way we receive our world. That's through our sensual nature. So obviously our sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch has an outer dimension of the physical senses, and there's an inner dimension through the subtle senses and intuitive faculties as well. So I want to talk a little bit about that. First I'm going to set the recording a little bit. There we go. All right, so our perceptions being the way that we take in, and that's our receptivity, is through our sensual nature. And our outer and inner senses exist on a spectrum that have the potential to wake up and become much more refined. So this awakened awareness of sensual experience can bring a whole lot more nourishment of a certain kind through our body-mind. And also a type of pleasure, which is a deeper kind of pleasure. It's not the pleasure that swings, you know, with the momentary sort of quick fix kind of pleasure, let's say like, you know, with sugar or caffeine or something, where you get an instant hit and then there's a crash afterwards, you know. Nothing wrong with anything in small amounts, but, you know, this culture promotes these kind of quick fix pleasures, which there is a pendulum swing. You know, there's this sort of instant payoff and then a crash afterwards with that kind of pleasure. When we have an awakening of our sensual nature and we're really receiving very deeply through our senses, both inner and outer, that's a very sustainable kind of pleasure. It actually is a nourishment that builds in your body. So that's something I want to go a little deeper in today. And I want to ask this question, you know, since we have this equipment, we're born with it, babies have it, you know, why isn't it more talked about and promoted? And, you know, why don't we go there more often, basically? And, you know, you can see with a baby that's, they're so enchanting when they're touching, holding, tasting. When they're receiving their world, they are very much in the moment and they're so innocent and they are completely at one with what they're experiencing. So we all long to be in that state again. That's why they're so mesmerizing. And the same is true for a baby, anything, you know, puppy, kitten, absolutely anything. The exploration of the world through the senses is a very awesome experience. And how can we do that, you know, as responsible adults? You know, how do we wake that faculty back up? And that's a really big question. You know, why don't we tend to go there again? And why do we have so many double messages in our culture about pleasure? And, you know, it's not just from our family. It's from just thousands of years of cultural programming. And, of course, you know, a lot of the world's religions are telling us to, you know, be wary of pleasure and for women, you know, to cover up and hide their bodies. For, you know, we're taught in so many ways to split ourselves right down the middle and cut off this very vital, important center of awareness, you know, which informs our experience. So, obviously, this is out of fear. And it's very ironic because when we embrace that awakened sensual nature, it reconnects us with the heart and spirit. So it's all one force, and it's so trustworthy. I actually want to bring out and highlight this new paradigm shift in looking at our sensuality and sexuality and this experience, which has, you know, only has to do with sex and a very small end of the spectrum, and has to do with the enjoyment through our senses throughout all of our life experience. You know, why is that so daunting and so fearful? And in particular, why are women seen to be the ones that are the culprit, you know, like the sirens of seduction that leads, you know, the male astray, and or humanity is going to go down the drain of moral degradation, and as if too much pleasure is believed to be scary. Like, what if we all just go crazy and get out of control? That's the fear. And then the ego actually sees this as threatening. I remember sharing with you that it's been about 7,000 years or so since what Steve Taylor has called, and other social scientists and psychologists and anthropologists have called, this era of an ego explosion, which is the development of the frontal lobe of the brain and ability to self-reflect and individuate. And it's a wonderful thing for expressing uniqueness and, you know, being able to be the storyteller and have advanced language and use of tools. And, you know, here we are 7,000 years later with this amazing technology that we're all connecting through, which is great. However, the ego has been in charge in this dominator model for all this time, and it has edged out the awareness of the goddess energy. She's been put into the back seat, so to speak, and the ego has been driving. And that driven nature of the ego is all about, you know, me first, in a not so good way, in a way that's not collaborative, and a way that is fear-based and, you know, isn't the best model to keep evolving that direction. That's not going to be the best for humanity. So here's, again, this pendulum swing. Anytime we go too far in one direction, the pendulum wants to swing the other way. But this time, we're not going back to 10,000 years ago where it's, you know, just the feminine that is revered, the era of the goddess and the love of nature and all that. It's not that that comes to the fore and the ego is completely obliterated. We keep our individuality. We keep all the good abilities to create, and we're integrating and calling back in goddess energy. So it's more of a partnering with male and female energies in our species. And it's a bumpy ride. It's a very bumpy ride. But fortunately, we have some spiritual leaders like, you know, the Dalai Lama and Amma, the hugging saint, both male and female leaders that are emphasizing compassion and empathy as this new rising force. And that physiologically corresponds with the hormone oxytocin, which is sometimes called the nursing hormone. You know, it's also the long-term love bonding hormone. And there's a physiological correlation with all of these shifts. Just like as the ego, you know, tends to run on testosterone and adrenaline, oxytocin is that bonding hormone that has us looking at the long term and the big picture and caring about all the members of the tribe, seeing things, all of us existing within a circle. And also it shifts our model of leadership, too. We're not just leaders and followers, you know. I know online they talk about having tribes and having followers, but really the new paradigm of leadership that is more balanced, male and female, is more like a structure of a circle, like holding a space. And in that space, the intelligence of the group soul really informs so much of what goes on in that circle. So hopefully the facilitator tunes into that and is guided by that. And how I look at it is a shift between, as far as leading or facilitating, that this is not happening by me. I'm not just, you know, carrying the torch or in the center like the hub of a wheel. I'm creating a structure or a space that facilitates all of our potential. And I'm listening, tuning in and getting my information, you know, what's the next video, what's the next exercise, et cetera. So much of it is spontaneous, even though I spend a lot of time, hours creating the structure. When you show up or when I show up, it's more of a spontaneous event. All of that work, you know, kind of parks itself in neutral, and then I just tune in and I have my notes in front of me to refer. But it's a live training. It's a live event where I'm listening in for your signals and your input. And believe me, I also appreciate your emails and your postings because that helps me create the classes. Yeah, so empathy is the rising force that is integrating and unifying our natural abilities as they come to a higher level as we go through a quantum leap. You know, we're going up the spiral together, humanity. So Dalai Lama has said that this is the year of the sheep or goat or ram, depending on your persuasion, what country we're looking at. And all of those are herd animals, and they all represent this strength and compassion. So it's strength in numbers, it's collaboration and the collective consciousness, and compassion, the basically gentle creatures who want to get along and want to belong. So Dalai Lama has said, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. And if you want to be happy, practice compassion. That's empathy, and that taps into that oxytocin circuit in the body. All right, so during this period, you know, the messages, the double messages we've gotten is from the patriarchal religions where the feminine force is seen as kind of a threat. And honestly, all that she's a threat to is the dominance of the ego. Because when we're listening to our intuition, we are guided more by the intelligence of the heart. And the heart has a stronger electromagnetic force than the brain. It has its own brain, its own intelligence center. And it's very interesting, the more that this is being studied, the more we realize how the heart is the first responder. The intelligence and the nervous system in the heart responds even before the brain to stimulation. And they've done a lot of studies on this, and it's really fascinating how, what is this knower in the heart center that knows even before the brain what kind of stimulus is going to be, the person's going to be exposed to when they have them hooked up and they're checking both centers with whatever machinery they do that with. You know, they're going to be flashing images in front of the person, and the scientist doesn't even know, the researcher, which images are going to be coming up next so that they don't interfere. And so it's done on this random basis, but the person's heart will register whether this is, you know, a pleasing image, one of comfort and safety and love, or whether it's going to be a disturbing image, even before the researcher, you know, clicks the button and presses. So what's going on there? I'd say a level of very high intelligence is going on there. So new research on meditation gives us a lot of this also information, and we're working, the work that we're doing when we do these exercises and meditations is very much in the fore of what this wave of awareness and research that's going on. So the other message that other messages that we're bombarded with is actually the messages that we're being marketed by. You know, it's our commercial messages, right? So very smart social scientists that serve businesses, you know, sell us quick fixes of pleasure constantly. So we do get a feeling of, oh, maybe we shouldn't indulge, and oh, the saying like that's a guilty pleasure. Or, you know, we have a fear, oh, things are too good now, they're happening too good, when's the other shoe going to drop? Or we even have a saying about pleasure, like, oh my God, that's just too good, I can't take it. You know, so increasing our tolerance for healthy pleasure is actually incredibly important to awakened sensuality. And noticing how we limit ourselves and talk ourselves out of it out of fear. That's really centuries-old programming that we're going to be melting during these 90 days. Because it's in the way. It's in the way of really going out full for your heart's desires, and it's in the way of tapping into feminine radiance, which is what we all want to do. And midlife is a place where this is even more potent. Because of our experiences, we're ready to tap in even deeper to this really precious commodity. If anybody wants to see an example of someone who is vitally alive and radiant and tapping into her full-out creativity at 85, all you have to do is Google Barbara Marks Hubbard, and she'll be talking a lot about these principles and how she, her viewpoints on evolution. It's very similar material, and also Christiane Northrup's new book. Many of you know her because she wrote the bestseller, The Wisdom of Menopause. And her new book is just out now, and it's called Goddesses Never Age, The Secret Prescription for Radiance, Vitality, and Well-Being. Well, that tagline sounds like my course. Very interesting. And there's so much, science in there to back up what we're doing. It's great. All right, so we're connecting with this creative life force. We're moving beyond the ego. We're not banishing it or anything. We're including it. The individuality is important. But really, what the language of the heart is the language of beauty and oneness. It's the experience of oneness that brings a kind of bliss through the body-mind. And women experience this in a particular way that can range from a very sweet relaxation and a feeling of wholeness or coming home, all the way in the spectrum to a feeling of like whole body ecstasy or a peak experience. Most of us know Joseph Campbell. He wrote The Power of Myth and The Hero's Journey. That was way back in 1988, something like that. And he coined the phrase, follow your bliss. So here we are on the heroine's journey for 90 days, and our MO is follow beauty and sacred sensuality. So when in doubt, I want to say to you, look for beauty. And some of you have heard me tell this story many times, so just have some patience. Perhaps some of you haven't heard it, that back in the 1950s, when there was a search for what the structure of the DNA was, no one could figure out how is all this information, how can it possibly fit into this minuscule, tiny little pocket of space, a speck. How can all this information, how in the world is it structured? No one could figure it out. And there were teams of scientists all over the world on a race to try and find the structure of the DNA. And the team that won, when they were interviewed, and they were a group of scientists from all over the world, were researching together, when they were interviewed and asked, how did you do it? How did you get there first? And they said, whenever we came to an impasse where we didn't know what to look for and we were just stymied, we asked, what's the most simple and what's the most beautiful? Because that's what nature does. And that's how they found the double helix spiral. So I really take that to heart. And when I'm feeling blocked and don't know what step to take next, what's the most simple and what's the most beautiful? We've often heard the advice, keep it simple, which is great advice. That's a first step. is to simplify, kind of stop and, you know, remove the mind that's spinning and analyzing everything, right? Einstein said you'll never find the answer to the problem from that part of the spinning mind. So stop, get real simple, and then look for beauty. And also another guiding force is feel, stop and feel, where's my joy? So stop and look for beauty and stop and feel, where's my joy? And that's how we're going to follow our bliss through the 90 days. That's a navigating force. So today's class is an invitation to get more in touch with being a vessel for beauty and sacred sensuality, literally calling it in by focusing on it, giving your most precious commodity, which is your attention, right? Your loving attention is your life force energy. So rather than let it drift, which it tends to go just toward that mainstream default of survivalistic fear, like, you know, what's the next problem is the question that the mainstream asks. Let's just ready ourselves for the next problem. Rather than that, stop and ask, look for beauty and feel, where's my joy? And that's how you'll find your next step on the path. It's a guidance system. And with that, what we're waking up our senses to do that, and we're waking up that compass in the heart, that intelligence that knows before the mind does. And a lot of you asked me about the wheel of life, like, you know, I'm centering, going inside, and you saw me kind of open my eyes and kind of keep them in a soft focus or a blur. And I want to explain that a little bit, why I do that and what's behind it. One of you asked me, you know, am I aware while I'm drawing which area I'm in? And I am, because before I do the exercise, I look at the wheel and I sort of log in a glance around the wheel, which are the areas of life, kind of where they are. And once that's logged in, I turn off my thinking mind. So I do use it. You know, I look at the wheel. I notice what those areas are around the wheel. There's thought there. There's thinking there. Oh, there's my personal growth, and that's where, over here is where partnership is, and over here is where, you know, family and traveling, et cetera, around the wheel. So I notice it, and I think about it, and then I put it aside. And then when I go inside and I'm closing my eyes, I'm coming from the core and then moving, being moved, right? I go right to the center of the wheel where the being is. And my eyes are in a soft focus and they're open. And as I'm moving, you know, you notice a lot with your peripheral vision. It's there, right? And it's operating and it's serving you all the time. Your peripheral vision is always serving you. But we don't really notice it a lot. And we don't use that faculty as an awareness, intuitive awareness a lot. There is so much intuitive awareness around us, like our radar, first of all, which we have eyes in the back of our head with our radar, our whole body awareness we have. Every part of us has intelligence and awareness and a kind of intuitive radar. And there's this also the faculty of vision. We're so used to using it with the thinking mind, which is very acutely focused on one particular thing at a time and labeling it with language, that we don't often tap into this soft eye focus, which taps a whole nother kind of intuitive intelligence. And many people's psychic capabilities come through when they're in this relaxed state and their peripheral vision is becomes part of their awareness. It's almost like the background becomes the foreground. That's how that operates. So I wanted to explain that to you. Okay. The experience of sensual whole body activation as a way of perceiving or taking in through your senses is really nourishing and enlivening. It's just like with a conscious breathing and riding the waves of our breath, the more conscious and the more whole body awareness we have, that helps us build and sustain a type of energy or chi, like in our reservoir. We are sustained by it. It is a nourishment. When we're really open to nature, I think we'll do just a short guided meditation with this. I'm going to take you in. Let's see, which one will we use tonight? Let me just tune in. Okay, we'll use a real archetypal one. All right, so close your eyes and take a breath. And let's take a couple of conscious breaths deep in the belly. Just expanding for a moment and arching the back a little bit, filling the belly and coming in for a landing wherever you are. As you exhale, just let the air out and sink into whatever's supporting you. So first, register, I am supported. In this space, in this circle, and whatever chair or bed you're laying on is supporting you. On the exhale, just let your body sink into that support. That's a position of trust and openness and receptivity. We're receiving as we relax our stomach, soft belly like a child, full deep belly breathing. And bring that breath up as you kind of arch the back and fill up. Comes up to the solar plexus. And then it fills through the kidneys in the back. Really bring it up and nourish your adrenals. Right there under your lower rib cage. They sit on top of the kidneys. So we're bringing our awareness and our attention to our whole body, and you're bringing it up now to the heart in the wave of the breath, filling the whole rib cage, round the shoulders, drop the shoulder blades, relax the neck and arms and head. All right. So we're going to take ourselves to a beautiful spot under a tree. And the season is one where the leaves are green. This tree is in full leaf. And it's sunlight. You're underneath the tree and your feet and or your pelvis, you're sitting at the root of the tree. So your feet are on the ground, your pelvis is on the ground, and your back is supported by the tree. So first, let's open our feet and breathe and connect our roots into the earth, thanking the earth for her nourishment and support, and feel how that tree is reaching deeply into the earth and how strong it is as a result. It's going up your back, and as you lean against it, just lean your spine into the tree. And feel what it feels like to gain strength by being deeply rooted. And relax your shoulders and head back. And as you tilt your head up, there's sunlight streaming through the green leaves. And this truly is nourishment. This emerald green light is bathing you, your eyes, your skin, your whole body, your being. You're flooded with this golden sunlight and emerald green from the leaves of the tree. And the tree is breathing, yes? So its exhale is pure oxygen. And you're breathing in as it exhales, you take in. And as you exhale, you're giving out to the tree. You're in a symbiotic relationship. This is the easiest giving we ever do is our exhale. There's no work to it. And you're fully supported, and you're receptive or receiving. So just enjoy that for a moment. And just fill yourself up. It's vitality, pure vitality and strength and beauty. Notice what's beautiful about it. And then you close your eyes and you rest into the tree and let yourself drift to a memory and another place in time where you had an experience of beauty in nature that stunned you, absolutely stunned you. There's probably many times to choose from because it could have been a beach walk with a sunset, and that could happen many times over. But allow yourself to choose one. Sometimes this is kind of a combination of sunsets, you know. But just let yourself be carried there, wherever that is. You may be underwater snorkeling. You could be mountaintop above tree line. You could be up in a tree fort as a child. You know, it could have been last week. You could have been watching your dog play. And then just notice wherever you are, what's the most beautiful thing about it to you? What is so exquisite? And where do you feel that in your body? Where do you feel the joy in your body? And you might say, well, kind of all over. But as you breathe, see if you can find a place where it's just really touching you. Maybe it's your smile, you know, that, or maybe it's the heart, or maybe it's the really deep relaxation in your belly, or maybe it's the strength of your legs as you hike the trail that just feels so good to put your feet on that path and move those legs. So notice what activity you're doing. Notice the kind of movement that's in your body, or if you become still, taking it in, whichever that is for you. So two things, just notice the beauty and notice where you feel the joy in your body. And place a hand, if you can, over the place you feel the joy. And then breathe that beauty in even more. Allow yourself to go deeper into it. Permission to open to it wider. And drink it in. Permission to just say, wow, or oh my God, which are the two things we say when this is happening. And just dwell there. And notice when you dwell there, kind of the boundaries of the body start to disappear. You feel very at one with your experience. And by bringing your attention to this experience, you're waking up these pathways that have this capacity all the time. This is available to you a lot more often. But we forget to ask ourselves the question, what is the most beautiful? And where do I feel the joy in my body as I let myself receive the beauty? I become that beauty. Literally, you start to radiate that beauty that you've taken in. This is a sacred space. This is sacred sensuality. And how often do we take the time? And we've only taken about 9 minutes here. How often do we take the time to allow ourselves to fully drop in? And fill up. So if you notice your mind saying, okay, that's enough now, just pat it on the head like you would a restless little dog and stroke it. Because the truth is, the mind likes this too. There's no part of us that doesn't like this. It just doesn't know how to get there. That's not the doorway. The analytic mind, the thinking mind, doesn't have the key to this door. Beauty, your knowing, noticing, receptivity, taking in, being one with, enjoying beauty is the key to this door. So now just notice how your body feels. Notice the change. Come back to awareness of your body. And let's take this now, quality of beauty. We're going to ride the wave of conscious breath through the body with the, adding the quality of receiving beauty. Okay, so take a breath and fill the belly. Fill the belly and the pelvis with the feeling of beauty and joy. Rocking forward, let that quality move your body, be breathed by beauty and joy. You're drinking it literally from the pelvis, from the root chakra, the sacrum, second chakra. There's a lot of intelligence in the pelvis about beauty and joy. So let it guide you as you breathe and as you rock. Just like the tree knows rootedness, strength, and reaching for the light, your pelvis knows beauty and sacred sensuality and joy. It's wired for it. You just go for the ride. Go for the ride on the wave. You're not manufacturing it. You're not creating it. You're not manipulating it. It's there. It's there. You're tapping in to something already there. And then let it rise through you. Let's bring it up to the solar plexus area. What does beauty and joy feel like in our solar plexus? Like, I want to say, yum, it's delicious. I want to digest it and take it in. I want to nourish myself here with beauty and joy. Feels very happy. It's a lot of intelligence there many neural plexuses. Solar plexus is another brain, highly intelligent. And then up to the heart as you breathe, ride the wave up to your heart and really open. Remember what is most beautiful for you in that scenario, in that environment. Let your heart open to that and receive that fully. This is the part of you that knows where to take you to receive this, before your mind ever does. Accept its guidance and its leadership. Its magnetic knowing, receptive knowing. The heart is a place to rest in. Deep breath, really filling and filling the beauty and joy in the heart. And then let's bring it up to our neck and shoulders, the place that all of us tend to hold tension. Let's rock the neck open gently. Deep breath and exhale. Really let go in the throat center. We strain here sometimes. We want to be willing, you know. We will ourselves, try to motivate ourselves to sometimes stress ourselves to do things. And this is the opposite. This is, are you willing to be receiving even more beauty and joy? Are you willing to relax even more? We can't try to relax. That doesn't work. So just be curious. I wonder what it would be like to relax even more. Just say, I wonder what it would be like. Even more relaxation and openness here. And take a breath. And then up on up to the face, eyes and forehead. Ears and eyes, mouth and nose, the head. I wonder what it would be like to relax my head even more. The crown of my head, I wonder what it would be like to experience beauty and joy. The very tippity top of my crown in my hair follicles. What do joyful hair follicles feel like? Take a breath. Okay, let's find a place now. I'm wanting to take you already into part two. We're going to do it all at once because it feels the right thing to do. Find a place where you're holding in your body where the tension still exists. And if there's more than one, we're just going to focus on one for now. Just choose an area. I've got something behind my right, the nape of my neck on the right side. So just put a hand or put your attention wherever a holding point is, a point of tension, contraction, or any body symptom. Just very gently put a hand there. And there's a mouth and nose underneath your hand. You're breathing right underneath that hand. Just open up to receive the beauty and the joy right in that spot. And there's something there that really wants to be released. So you're going to pick something in your environment, whether it's a flowing river or the sky or the sun or the earth, where you're going to release this tension into nature, because nature can receive it and recycle it. You don't have to carry it. So as you breathe, it relaxes and opens, and that tension comes into your hand. and you feel it kind of collecting almost like a little stone in your hand. And you may want to move your body a little bit and really get it. So if you have inner hands, you could reach into the body and you could pull this out, whatever's there. Massage that area and open up and let it collect into your hand when you're ready. We're going to bring our hands out in front of us and just hold it. Feel the weight of that stone in the hand. Even if you can still feel that area in the body, feel the weight of that stone and the energy in your palm. And on the third breath, on the exhale, we're going to toss it to whatever part of nature it wants to go. So first breath, just feel the weight of it in your palm. And exhale. Second breath, getting ready to toss it. Breathe in. Second breath. Exhale. Okay, hold on to it. Breathe in. Third breath, inhale. Exhale and toss it. Shake your hands. Shake both hands. Shake your feet. Rock your neck. Deep breath. Ah, release out. Ah, another breath. Releasing breath. And one more. Whew. Great. Okay, and just let yourself be in that space. You might feel some buzzing, tingling. This is integration. Just be with it. Coming back to your body, sitting or laying down. Just enjoying the shift. All right, so while you are coming back from that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about something I call radical self-care. I saw this written somewhere. I didn't make that up, that phrase. But some woman coined this term or heard the term and wrote about it. And it's radical because women typically are such overgivers and thinking of others first that they forget their own self-care. So just like we need to increase our tolerance for pleasure and joy, we also need to increase our space for self-care. So think of something. What would it be like to allow yourself to really receive something this next week that would be a nourishment for self-care, whether that's, you know, getting a facial or a massage or taking yourself on the walk that you've been thinking about for 2 months and haven't been up that trail. Whatever it is, or it could be, you know, lunch with the best girlfriend that you talked about 4 months ago and never happened. But one of your needs that you've been putting aside, not letting yourself feel it because, I don't know if I want to take the time to do it or where does it fit. Just see what bubbles up to your consciousness. What would really serve you? What self-care would serve you this week? Or at least booking it for the next week, actually making the step to do whatever it is. Maybe it's just a foot massage and a pedicure, whatever it is, something. This weekend, my husband's away touring, and I had a morning where I put this kind of like herbal mask on my face and this emollient mask in my hair, and I just did this whole body sort of goop nourishing goop. And then I put on, like, you know, sweats and stuff, and I did some yoga, and then I took a shower and did a loofah and just washed everything off, and I felt like a layer just drop off me in the shower. It was the most exhilarating shower. And it wasn't that I couldn't have done it with him around, but you know what? It was a whole different experience just by myself. It was the way I wanted and needed to do it, so I could be completely unselfconscious and just go for it. Just every, you know, in between, all everywhere on my skin, my face, my hair. It was just, you know, delicious and delightful. Okay, so I guess what we're doing is we're talking about changing gears and setting priorities and increasing our tolerance to pleasure and noticing beauty. And I'm going to set this week's supplement. I'm going to ask for shares in a little bit, so I'm giving you time to come up, come up out of the deep, and to share with me or to get in the queue. What you do is press star 6 and then 1 if you want to share what came to you for a self-care ritual for the week, or what came to you from your vision, where you went, and what was the most beautiful about it, most joyful about it. Either one of those two things, you can do a share. Press star. Oops, I have to change the mode so you can do that. Okay. All right. Now, if you would like to share or get in the queue, I'm going to talk for just a little bit, so give you a chance to come up out of the meditation. You would press star 6 and then 1 to share about a self-care ritual, something that you've really wanted to do, you're going to allow yourself to do, or where you went in the meditation, what was the most beautiful and or the most joyful. Okay, so while you're doing that, I'm just going to tell you that changing gears is really quite an art, because our priority, it means our priorities are changing. We're actually giving value to other aspects of ourselves. We're allowing in the awareness of what we want and need along with what others want and need. It's quite a experience to let this come to your consciousness and then actually act on it. You become one of your biggest priorities. Once you do this, you will get so many more messages. If you're wondering why you can't quite, you know, tune in on a heart's desire, or why things, you know, the visions aren't quite coming, the reason why this class is placed where it is in week 3 is this is highly important to shift gears so that that information can come in, because it doesn't come from analyzing at all. Okay, I have somebody on the line who I'm going to unmute, and your last 4 digits of your phone number is 0509. So you are live. Hello, hi, caller. You're live.
Hi, this is Catherine from the Smith River, a mile from Oregon.
Hey, Catherine. Whoops. Hi. Somehow I muted you again. Let me get you unmuted.
Okay.
There. Try it again. Are you there?
Catherine, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, perfect.
Tell me what's up. What did you come up with?
Oh, the vision, that one was tough, because there were 2 moments that were just so inspiring. One was when I was in Pokhara, which was in Nepal, and I saw Annapurna for the first time with the sun setting on it. It was absolutely awesome.
Wow, tell us what that is.
Annapurna, it's part of the Himalayas, but it's the most beautiful part of the Himalayas.
Mm.
It's the mountain that spikes up and then kind of drops down, kind of like paramount, but it was so beautiful and the colors were so sensational. But I had a hard time choosing between that and coming into Cook's Bay and Mohorea in Tahiti.
Now, where's Cook Bay? Is that in Fiji?
Cook's Bay is in Tahiti.
Tahiti.
On the island of Mo'orea.
Mo'orea. Oh, sounds fabulous. Well, I don't mind you telling us about both.
Okay,
where do you want to start?
Well, that's the vision I had, and it was beautiful, but I had a hard time focusing on just one of them.
Uh-huh. I can see why.
So awesome, and it went straight to my heart. Right to my heart. I felt it in my body, in my heart, moving up to my throat.
Wow. Wow, what did you find most beautiful in the island Tahiti?
As I was by boat, coming into Cook's Bay, and that's where Captain Cook came in, and
uh-huh,
that's why they call it Cook's Bay. But what's so sensational about it, the water is such an amazing turquoise green. I mean, not turquoise blue, but then
uh-huh,
there's green, and the mountains are emerald green.
Wow.
And they jet up from the sea, and the soft palms against the blue sky. It's just, I wish I could describe it with words.
That's okay. And words fail. That's part of this. We're stunned into silence. We do our best we can with words. I'm so curious, do you mind sharing about the Himalayas? What was striking you as the most beautiful there?
Well, I got to Pokhara, which is up pretty high, but it's semi-tropical. And as I approached, the sun was starting to go down, but it was shining on, I was looking at the Himalayas,
uh-huh,
and it was shining on the one particular mountain called Pokhara. And Pokhara is different than Mount Everest. Mount Everest is more square, box-like.
Yes.
Pokhara is more jagged, and when you see a movie, Paramount Pictures, it's almost like the Paramount Pictures,
uh-huh,
that mountain. And there was snow on it, so it kind of glistened. But there was also the color orange of the sunset on it with some gold.
Mm. Wow.
So that was magnificent. Two completely different places.
Yeah,
different
I
colors.
Can see why it was hard to choose between.
It was very hard to choose between.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
I
love that you did both, because what we're doing is increasing our tolerance for pleasure, and they both came in, and you needed to be with both.
I needed to be with both. And what I'm doing right now, as we speak, is part of my self-care. I invest in that. A biomat is infrared, gives off infrared heat, and I'm laying on a cushion of amethyst.
Ah, oh, wow. That sounds fabulous.
Putting out this beautiful infrared heat. So I feel like I'm basking in the sun, too.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Catherine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. How do I get off mute?
I'm going to go ahead and mute you again. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. There. She's muted. And I'm going to share a little something. I don't see another caller in the queue, so you notice that Catherine's experience is very exotic, and in these beautiful exotic locations, a lot of times that is what comes to mind, and that did come to mind for me, because, you know, we're so transported by the unexpected when we're in an environment that is, you know, new to us. Oh, we have another caller. Okay, I can see Myra on the line. I'm going to want you to share, Myra. Hi, Myra.
Hi. So I have, what was the woman who just spoke, was her name Kathy?
Catherine, yeah.
Catherine. So Catherine was describing the island of Morea that my husband Drew and I went to on our honeymoon, and when we were taking the boat back, looking at Morea exactly how she described it, we were like, this is the most beautiful place in the world. And Morea is such a beautiful name. We should name our daughter Morea.
Oh, my gosh, that's how Morea got her name?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And it was like such this Disney moment with like, you know, the sparkles glittering off the ocean and the amazing mountains. And we had just had our honeymoon there.
Oh.
And we had that moment. And then, and actually, you know, we said, anyway, I don't have to tell the whole story, but I just had to tell a little bit of the story.
Wow, that's great. Thank you so much for that. I never knew the story behind her name. I love the name, but.
And I'll tell you part two and another time to not take up all the time. But I wanted to say what was interesting for me was, you know, you started the meditation, you know, with something I was kind of familiar with you doing with the nature and the body. And I didn't know the purpose of it was to increase our capacity to take in joy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when you said such a beautiful, you know, when you find the most beautiful place, it was just one of the many just extraordinary sunsets at the beach at Ribera here in Carmel. And then you asked a question, what would you do to make it more beautiful or something? I don't remember exactly your words, but I realized so clearly at that moment how I have such a hard time taking in the beauty. And I was like, and I made this commitment to myself, like, I am going to once sit on that beach without my cell phone by myself and just stay with that beauty. And it seemed like it was going to be such, you know, a difficult thing to do because I sit there with this overwhelming beauty, but then after a while I just can't take anymore and I'll check my phone messages or I'll start talking.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, and then you started on your exercises for, you know, taking in that beauty. And what I wanted to ask you, Hillary, I don't know if you're doing this, but I feel like it would be incredibly therapeutic for me to do just that guided meditation a lot in this week. So,
yes.
I mean, can you put it on the site, just that meditation?
Actually, that's exactly what this week's supplement is that meditation. So there's a recording of the whole class, but then there will also be just an audio of that meditation.
Yay.
So it'll be,
that was so amazing for me.
Great,
and
great.
I'm
going to ask my tech person if she can take just that segment out. And so there'll be the recording of the whole class. Instead of a video this week, there will be that recording of that meditation. Because it is, it's so pivotal. And you can see how and why it sort of comes in like in the third week, or I even thought maybe the fourth week, but so many of you are already percolating so strongly from, you know, your emails, and we've already done some work together that it felt right to do it in week three. It is, this is the key in the door. This is what opens everything. We have to set a foundation first and get some overall concepts and, you know, see the map of kind of where we're going and feel into the wheel of life. And then this is what opens every single area of life, is going from your being through beauty and joy into each area, navigating through the sensual connection through the whole body, reconnecting sensuality, the heart, and spirit, and letting the mind follow that. The mind really wants to rest. It's so used to being in the driver's seat, and it's so tired. And although the ego resists being in the back seat, it actually, when we're stunned to silence by beauty, that's when it happens. That's when we don't have to try to relax or try to get the ego out of the way. Or there's no trying. We're stunned to silence by beauty. So that's our key. Thank you, Myra, for sharing. That was just so helpful to hear that from you. And
I was so surprised how unaware after 51 years I was how hard it is for me to just sit and open to beauty.
Yeah, yeah. Changing gears is actually quite an art. And even with little kids, you know how sometimes if the kids are playing, it's hard to get them into the bath, like to change a state, like, okay, let's get into the bath. They resist getting in. And then when they're in, they're playing, you can't get them out.
Yeah.
They resist coming out. So we resist changing states, and that includes when the mind is chattering or when we're being so-called responsible and responding, doing our checklist, and it can be very, we're just like the little kids who don't want to get in the bath, you know. But once we get in the bath, there's so much joy in the bath. And then, so following the natural arc of our movement, because our, the way we schedule our time is very artificial, we're not doing it, you know, in cycles with the seasons, and we'll talk about that in the second month, how to be in the flow of time in a way that's more friendly to the body and our health and our creativity. It's really important to follow the arc of the movement of beauty and joy through your body. It will come to a natural resting point, kind of a still point and an integration, and then your body says, okay, I'm digesting now. That's different than stopping it because we can't tolerate it. It's like a joyous relaxation and an integration. You're satiated and you're digesting it, and that's normal. That's healthy. That's the actual, you've completed that arc, and then you're going into the next cycle. Thank you for bringing that up, because that really brought that, highlighted that out.
Oh, well, thank you. That was amazing for me. So thank you.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I hope the other callers enjoyed. I'm going to go ahead and mute you, Myra, again.
Okay.
Let's see. Where? How can I do that? Did I do it right? Yeah, there she is. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, ladies, for your attention this evening. I hope you all enjoyed that meditation as much as Myra and Catherine and I did. I'm just going to do a very quick share here at the end. So you heard me say that this week's supplement is an audio, and it's that very meditation, which is going to be on the page. So it'll be the whole class recording, and then underneath that will be just that audio meditation. And how essential and how vital it is to this whole experience. So I'm just so happy to share with you. I have to say that I'm loving sharing with you things that are actually the most important to me and that are my own practices. You know, there's a million gazillion practices out there and many things to do. And when I was designing this course, I really designed it with what do I find the most potent and also the most simple and beautiful, because that's the way I designed the course. You know, I don't want to overload you with tricky techniques and so on. There's so many that I've learned, and I've learned so many intricate techniques. And what I find the most useful and the most powerful are these simple things done very consciously and with whole heart and fully connected, the sacred sensuality, the heart, and connection to spirit. So I hope you enjoy your week. Be sharing a little more with you next week. I'll be writing you an email letting you know what, as that evolves, the theme for the week. I know where we're headed, but I get the name of the class usually a couple days before I teach it. I know like the gist of what I'm going to teach, and I journal on it for many hours, and then the theme just drops in. So, and that meditation just dropped in today after I journaled for a lot of hours on the class. So just to let you know my creative process with this too. All right, ladies, thank you so much. I've enjoyed sharing this time with you, and on your members page tomorrow will be the recording and the meditation. And enjoy the Wheel of Life as well. All right. Good night, ladies. I'm going to open you just a sec to say blessings and good night. Hold on a second. Okay. Blessings and good night, ladies.
Hello. Thank
good
you.
Good night.
Blessings.
To Hillary.
Good night. Thanks.
Wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Love. Thank
glad you enjoyed it. Good night, everyone.